In recent decades, millions of people have drifted away from Jesus and their Catholic faith. Sadly, many may never find their way back. I'm Tom Peterson, and I believe that God has called me to use my background in media to be a catalyst in the new evangelization. Our organization produces inspiring and creative evangelization messages that have helped lead hundreds of thousands of inactive Catholics, converts, agnostics, and atheists home to Jesus and His Holy Church. Join us as we travel across North America to bring you stories of heartbreak, redemption, and transformation as the Holy Spirit leads His people home. God has an extraordinary plan for each of our lives. He wants us to spend eternity in heaven with Him and bring as many people with us as possible. This is Catholics Come Home. Welcome to Catholics Come Home. Today we come to you from the town of Sturgeon Bay in beautiful Door County, Wisconsin. Here we'll meet a woman who drifted away from her faith, went through a divorce, and didn't think she could ever return. But in today's episode, we'll see how she joyfully rediscovered her Catholic faith and found a path home. Like everyone else in this series, today's guest came home to the church thanks to Catholics Come Home and responding to the call of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to meet Susie Mazey. Susie, thanks so much for being with us today, and welcome home.
Well, I'm very glad to be home. It's wonderful. Truly, I'm happy.
Were you raised a cradle Catholic?
Yes, I was. My family was Catholic, you know, for as far back as we know. In fact, I went to Catholic grammar schools.
Did you go to Catholic high school, too?
I went 4 years to the Immaculata at Irving Park and Marine Drive in Chicago.
What was your faith like in your younger years?
I think I was going through the motions. I mean, you know, went through church and things like that. But mainly, especially as a teenager, went to church because if I didn't, be a mortal sin. And I don't think my mind was wandering, thinking about everything, about what was going on there at Mass.
So your formation as a young person wasn't very strong?
I really wasn't consciously thinking about it that much, actually. It was like I went through the motions and I really didn't, you know, participate fully at Mass.
What happened after you finished high school?
Well, I went to work, you know, and I was working got a job as an apprentice draftsman, so I was a draftsman. We actually drew on the drawing boards. We didn't use computers. And I enjoyed it. It was fun, you know, and I was with some friends. I used to go horseback riding in Lincoln Park all the time in Chicago and didn't date a whole lot. And then one day I met this girl I used to work with, and she fixed me up on a blind date. And that was the man that I eventually married. I didn't have a whole lot of dating experience at all.
Did you get married in the Catholic Church?
Yes, we married at St. Jerome's, the parish I graduated from grammar school.
As young marrieds, what was your faith life like?
We went to church on Sundays, but you know, there was no special praying at home, like saying the rosary or anything like that. I don't even think we said grace before meals. But it was just like we went to church on Sunday because, you know, it was like an obligation.
Did your faith continue in that vein after you had children?
I'm ashamed to say it did, yes. It was, you know, I went to Mass, you know, until things got rough in our marriage. But, I mean, I was never really, you know, I didn't feel connected or I didn't feel like I was really participating.
How many children do you have and what was their exposure to Catholicism?
I have two children. Tom's the oldest and Paul's the youngest. Tom was actually baptized at St. Lawrence's in Elgin, Illinois. And things started to, you know, go a little bad in the marriage and I started to drift away. And it hurts me now that we didn't really see to the children being, you know, raised Catholic and taught, you know, about our faith. And so they weren't, I failed as a parent, I feel. I really let them down because I didn't help them.
So were there some problems in your marriage around that time?
Yes, there were. I mean, my husband was unhappy with my weight because I was thin when we got married. And the more stress I felt, I had a tendency to overeat. And so I was just, you know, making the problem worse, you know, taking some blame for it myself. Looking back on it, I should have stood up, because it bothered me that we weren't attending Mass and going to church anymore. But I was trying to people please, because I thought, oh, he's not, you know, I didn't want to just make any waves. I would just try and please him. And in doing so, I wouldn't actually say what I was thinking. I wouldn't stand up and say, this is what we should be doing. I just kind of buried everything down. I was just eating more and more food. And it didn't, you know, I thought I was trying to please him, but it didn't please him at all.
So down deep, were you feeling like you should attend Mass?
Yes, I did. I really did, you know, and I felt, you know, then it got to the point where it bothered me so much, I just wouldn't even think about it anymore. I just completely put it all out of my head. I didn't want to think about God or anything like that, because I think I felt, you know, guilt feelings about not doing what I ought to be doing.
During those times of trouble, did you pray at all? What was your faith journey like?
I didn't really pray. The only time I did anything like praying was I started attending the OA meetings. That's a 12-step program for compulsive overeaters. And I took God as my higher power, and it's a spiritual program. But I really didn't connect with God at that time. I mean, it was the group that I felt was helping me.
What happened next?
I remember I was really starting to become very depressed and very down. And I actually was planning to commit suicide. And I actually thought of how I was going to do it, and I was going to safeguard the two boys and the pets and, you know, time it so that my husband would be coming home from work. And I was quite serious about doing this. And I had an OA meeting that night, and I shared one of my feelings with one of the girls there. Well, we used to go out for coffee after the meeting, and they all just, it was almost like an intervention, and they convinced me that this is not the right thing to do. You're not going to do this. And I'm grateful that they did.
So the marriage ended?
Yes, eventually it did. After 16 years, it ended.
So how long were you away from the church?
A good 20 years. I'm not exactly sure how many, but I know it's at least 20 years.
Was God part of your life during those 20 years away from the church?
I think I just figured, like, well, I'm divorced, I'm excommunicated, you know, and I didn't really want to think about it because I was concerned about, am I going to hell? And so I just kind of put it out of my mind. I didn't think about it.
So what made you think you were excommunicated?
Well, they used to tell us, you know, I remember, you know, growing up in Catholic, and I did graduate in 1960, and I think that was before Vatican II. And I think at that time, you just didn't get divorced. I mean, it was just something you didn't do.
So you assumed by being divorced, you were automatically excommunicated.
Exactly. There was never a priest or anyone tell me this. It was just, I believe this myself.
How would you describe your life at that time?
I wasn't very happy. I was unhappy. In fact, my mother shared, you know, with my sister. My sister shared this with me, you know, afterwards. They said, you know, she doesn't smile anymore. She doesn't sound like herself. I was depressed. I was really depressed and unhappy.
When did you move to the northern Wisconsin area?
My parents retired up here, and since I had school-aged children, I knew I was going to need some help. So I was able to, you know, find a job up here and go to work. And then when I came home from work, I could pick up my children, because after school they would go to their grandparents' house. And I don't know how I would have done it without my parents being there to help.
Coming up, find out what happened next in Susie's faith journey.
Years ago, when I used to receive communion, it was like, you know, it just went through the motions. But now, I really try and think about it, especially during the consecration, what's happening.
I'd like to present a view of Christian evangelization you might not have heard before. See, if you want to effectively evangelize other people, perhaps you should start thinking of yourself as a mirror. Yes, that's right, a mirror. Those who don't know God, those who have not yet learned of Him and His love, need some kind of introduction, a sort of starting point. That's where the mirror comes in. You and I can become the very best evangelizers by simply being accurate reflections of God. The same Spirit that touched the apostles at Pentecost can embolden us to share our faith with those around us. When people see how faithfully we live our Catholic faith, they will start to understand the God they cannot see by seeing His reflection in us, the people they can see. When others witness the amazing things that come from a life lived faithfully for God, they'll want some of that too. Maybe St. Francis said it best. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words.
Advent joy lights the night air, for kindly Saint Nicholas was making his way there. But wait, there's a pause in his plan. Santa's priority should be that of every man. Wise men seek the Savior first, knowing only Jesus can quench our heart's greatest thirst. So come home to Mass each week and every season, for love is born tonight, our hope for heaven the reason.
There was no single event. It was more gradual. You know, eventually you just don't go one Sunday, and then you don't go two Sundays in a row. Then went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
After 20 years of being away from God and the church, what changed?
I had a longing, you know. I was beginning to feel like I missed it, but I thought I shut that door and I was gone. I couldn't come back. And then, thanks to you, there was these wonderful commercials on TV.
What different Catholics Come Home evangel commercials did you see, and how did it make you feel?
They were all wonderful, but I especially liked the one where the priest is in his vestments in the church and he's greeting a family. And of course, the wonderful one where they had like a fiesta and the people are dancing and happy. Then also, I like where it talked about, you know, the church teaching people and starting hospitals and being the largest charitable organization in the world. And actually, it made me feel, I guess, maybe feel proud that, you know, I had belonged to this church. It made me feel like I wish I could be part of that church again.
So the commercial was the first time you actually discovered you could come home.
I still thought I couldn't come back until there was this one man. He was divorced and he was Catholic. And I thought, he's divorced. He came back. I wonder if I could come back. So I thought, why don't I just contact the pastor at the local parish? And so I wrote a note, and I didn't even bother to go by and see the signboard to see what the pastor's name was. I just addressed it to the pastor at Corpus Christi Parish. And I told in the note, I said I was considering coming back to the church. And they just had the computer address. Could he please give me an 800 number or an address so I could get more information? Well, Father Carl sent me a beautiful letter. And he said, one of the things he said was, go to Mass, which I did. And he said that if I want to talk to him, make an appointment with the parish secretary. And he sent me a wonderful packet of information, including the DVD of the Catholic Come Home commercials. So I made the appointment to see Father Carl, and it was wonderful. Just, he was so easy to talk to, and he made me feel so comfortable. And then he made an appointment for a personal reconciliation after one of the morning masses. He made it so easy. And I don't think my feet touched the ground when I left that church. I was so happy.
How did it feel to be home?
Absolutely wonderful. And I feel like, you know, why did I ever leave? You know, why did I stop praying? I feel like maybe my guardian angel, my two grandmothers up in heaven, and maybe the Holy Spirit, everything was pushing me to come home.
So did Father Carl explain, because you weren't remarried, the path was through reconciliation?
Yes, it's just that, you know, since the marriage wasn't annulled, I wouldn't be dating, but that was fine with me. I mean, I don't need to do that at this stage.
After 20 years being away, how did it feel to receive the Eucharist again?
Oh, it was wonderful. That was one of the things after the first reconciliation. I said to Father, can I receive communion now? And he said, yes. It was wonderful. It really was. I mean, years ago when I used to receive communion, it was like, you know, it just went through the motions. But now I really try and think about it, especially during the consecration, what's happening. And it's wonderful. It really is.
When you came back, what were you thinking about regarding those earlier years?
Remorse and regret of the time I wasted. I was sorry, and mainly that I didn't educate my children in the Catholic faith. In fact, that was one of the first things I did after I came home. I called both my sons. I said, guess what? Your mom's gone back to church because it's the right thing to do. So, and for a while there, they kept on asking me, you still going? I said, yes. They don't ask me that anymore. They know I'm still going.
What do you know now that you didn't know when you drifted away?
that God loves us no matter what we do, and that He's, you know, He wants to forgive us. He wants us all to be saved. He wants us all to be, you know, with Him. And that, you know, it's remarkable that He loves us, because we human beings are such flawed creatures. I mean, we do such dumb things, and I'm sometimes at that. I can't even understand the kind of love. I mean, you know, God sent His Son down to earth in that horrible passion He did in the crucifixion. It was all because of our sins. And I regret anything that I did to put Him on that cross.
So what epiphany did you have regarding the way you felt about your ex-husband?
Oh, yes, I resented him terribly. I mean, when I think about the number of years I just sat and thought deep, dark thoughts and wishing terrible things for him, and I'm looking back, I thought that was a complete waste of time, because, I mean, he didn't know I was thinking all these thoughts. I mean, who was I harming? I was harming myself. And it was really, it was poisoning me. It was making me more unhappy. And then one day I was reading one of the things in that, in OA, Overeaters Anonymous, we use the Alcoholics Anonymous book. And there's a resentment, a prayer for resentment there. And I thought, well, I'm going to start praying that. At first I started praying it, you know, wishing only good things for my ex, and I'm thinking, yeah, right, I really wish this, you know. Then I thought, now wait a minute, act as if you mean it. I still pray for him today, and now I really, truly mean it. And to get rid of resentment is wonderful. I mean, and there's so many ways people resent different things, and it's wonderful to just, you know, have that weight taken off of you.
Susie, how are you different now?
I still have all the same problems, but I don't fret. I don't worry about them. I'm calmer about everything. I mean, the same things that were difficult before are still difficult, but they're so much easier.
Why?
I think that God is with me. In fact, sometimes I find myself, I'm looking for something, I can't find it, and I find myself thinking, help me find it, and I find it, and I'm like, oh, that was easy, and I thank God. There's so many little things I thank God for every day.
What didn't you expect when you came home that surprised you?
The reason I told Father Carl I wanted to come back quietly, I was worried what people were going to think about me, because I was away from the church for all these years. And so when people started asking me questions, I told them the truth. And there was such a feeling of love and acceptance, and they were so happy for me. That was the big surprise. I'm like, they're not being judgmental at all. And, you know, so no one should be afraid to come home, because people are going to be so glad that you do.
When we return, find out what's new in Susie's life today.
And I said to him, I want to come back quietly. He said, no parties or anything? I said, no, quietly. Looking back on me sitting here talking to you, and I'm thinking, I can just see our Lord sitting up there listening to us, thinking, boy, have I got a surprise for her in a few years. You know, I'm just amazed at what's happened to me.
So many of us Catholics are simply so nervous and don't know where to start when it comes to sharing our faith. We feel we don't have a PhD in theology, or we're not a priest or religious sister. We have no idea where to begin. But in the book, Catholics Come Home, God's Extraordinary Plan for Your Life, I show how easy it is with simple techniques to share our faith with people who can be changed by something we do or share with them that day. In chapter 2, the reflection talks about a simple technique that can actually plant a seed of God in someone's life today. Here's how it works. When someone comes up to you and says, how are you? Oftentimes we answer, I'm fine, or I'm good, how are you? I propose we change our language, and when someone says, how are you? We answer, I'm blessed, how are you? You know, that simple phrase of I'm blessed, how are you, plants the seed of God in their thoughts today. If they're a Christian, that phrase will invite them to talk about Christ or maybe share the faith with you. If they're not a Christian, you have at least planted the seed about God and that thought about God in their life today. It may be the only time they hear about God all day. Sharing the faith doesn't have to be hard. It can be quite easy. God's written the hope on every one of our hearts. We just have to have the courage to share it. And the book, Catholics Come Home, will help give you that inspiration on sharing the faith and helping to love others to heaven. Now that you're home, what good things and what fruit are happening in your life now?
I'm happy. That's the main thing. And I'm so glad to be back. And it's wonderful to go to Mass, because there's a freedom of going to Mass because you really want to, and not because I got to go because I'm going to commit a mortal sin. It's just wonderful. I mean, and I go early so I can do some praying before Mass. And I really love it.
What are the different ministries you're involved with now?
I joined St. Anne's, and what we do at St. Anne's, we have bazaars and things because we earn money so that we can help with the altar furnishings and priest vestments and things like that. In fact, we even bought a freezer for the parish because the old freezer was dying in the kitchen. And when there's funerals, we serve, you know, set up tables and all that kind of stuff and help in the kitchen. And that's been really, you know, fun to do. I really enjoyed that. And working with so many wonderful people. The one thing I remember sitting in Father Carl's office, and when we had the initial conversation, and I said to him, I want to come back quietly. He said, no parties or anything? I said, no, quietly. Looking back on me sitting here talking to you, and I'm thinking, I can just see our Lord sitting up there listening to us, thinking, boy, have I got a surprise for her in a few years. You know, it's just, I'm just amazed at what's happened to me. And life is really good. It really is wonderful. And I just recently had a day at St. Joe's where we study for the care ministry program. We'd be visiting people who are sick in the hospital, or just people who need a visit for somebody, or go to pray a rosary, or the chaplet of Divine Mercy with someone, you know, things like that. So I'm looking forward to, you know, doing this.
You have a fun and unique job. What is it?
I work for a retail store. We sell all kinds of things for dogs. In fact, it's the Door County Dog Store. And part of the Door County Dog Store is a Stove Dog Bakery. And besides doing the retail and waiting on customers, I also bake dog treats, which has, you know, been kind of fun. They're not like making people cookies. They come out a lot harder here.
Now that you have Christ in your life, how are you different when you're serving those customers or you're helping in those ministries?
I just feel so much more relaxed. I mean, really and truly relaxed and at ease, you know, talking to people. It's like nothing's forced. It just kind of comes, you know. And my whole life, all around, I'm just a much happier person.
If your sons are watching, what would you share with them now?
That I pray for them every day because I hope they can find the faith, and I hope that they can come home to this church because it's wonderful. And I'm hoping that they will someday. Was it St. Augustine's mother? So was it St. Monica? How many years she had to pray for her son to come home? I'm 71. I hope I can live long enough for them to come home.
For those who might have been away or afraid to come home or uneasy about it, what would you tell them?
Just contact a priest. Do it. Don't hesitate. Come home. It's important. It really is.
Can you compare how you felt 20 years ago without God as part of your life to how you feel now with Christ at the center of your life?
I was unhappy. I was depressed. Everything was a challenge. I just was so unhappy with so many aspects of my life. I mean, things were difficult for me to do. And now that I've come home, it's like a complete 180. You know, it's just so much better. I'm just, you know, I'm a happy person, not depressed anymore. And I look forward to each morning. And, you know, and I have conversations with God now. Back and forth. In fact, I asked the Holy Spirit to help me with this interview because I was worried about it. And I'm sure He did.
Susie, we're so glad that you responded to that invitation and answered the calling of the Holy Spirit. Welcome home.
And I'm grateful that you made that invitation, because if you hadn't had those ads on TV, I might still be away. And, you know, that I wouldn't want that to be.
One of the biggest obstacles people mention when considering returning to the church is the challenge of divorce. Today's viewer question will help us address divorced fallen away Catholics. How do I respond to someone who wants to know if they are still welcome in the church after a divorce? Let's say that Susan, a neighbor on your street, confides to you that she has been away from the church since she and her husband divorced several years ago. Now she thinks the church doesn't want her anymore, but in her heart, she feels a tug to come home. How might you help Susan? When Susan asks if she is still welcome in the church, begin your loving response to her with an unambiguous, cheerful yes. Let her know that as a divorced Catholic, she is an important part of the Catholic Church and is absolutely welcome in your parish. The same goes for separated Catholics who are alienated from the church, as well as divorced and remarried Catholics who have not received annulments. As Pope St. John Paul II reaffirmed for divorced and remarried Catholics in particular, let these men and women know that the Church loves them, that she is not far from them and suffers because of their situation. The divorced and remarried are and remain her members because they have received baptism and retain their Christian faith. If Susan has not remarried, recommend the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a path home. If she has remarried, gently explain to her the Church's teaching and discipline regarding the reception of the sacraments as a divorced Catholic. The Church teaches that all sacramental marriages are valid unless proven otherwise through the annulment process. If Susan has divorced and remarried without receiving an annulment, then she may not receive the Holy Eucharist at this time unless she goes to confession and pledges to forego marital relations with her civilly married spouse. In any event, she is certainly welcome and encouraged to participate in Mass because she is indeed an important part of the Catholic Church, the body of Christ. Encourage Susan to meet with a priest. Let her know that if she has remarried without an annulment and would like to be in full communion with the Church, she could do so at this time by going to confession and pledging to live as brother and sister with her civilly married spouse, an arrangement the Church counsels for serious reasons, such as obligations for raising children. The grace and joy of receiving the Eucharist will enable Susan to carry this cross. In addition, she should talk to a parish priest or deacon about the possibility of initiating the annulment process, which many Catholics who have returned to the Church describe as a very healing experience. Remind Susan that Jesus loves her very much and so wants to reestablish and deepen his communion with her through confession and the Holy Eucharist. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org for more help responding to divorced Catholics.
Here's your chance to get active in the new evangelization. Visit the CatholicsComeHome.org website, enter through the door, and click on the Shop tab. Here, you can order a Catholics Come Home book, evangelization cards, a DVD of the evangelicals, or a car magnet. If you or someone you know has come home to the Church thanks in part to Catholics Come Home, let us know. Or if you have a comment, question, or want to support our mission, email us at info@catholicscomehome.org or write to us at Catholics Come Home, P.O. Box 1802, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. During her time of family trauma, Susie drifted away from her Catholic faith. After her divorce, she didn't think she could ever come back to the Catholic Church. But thankfully, Susie saw a Catholics Come Home invitation featuring a divorced man who had returned as well, and that gentle invitation drew her back to her Catholic faith. We thank you for joining us on this episode of Catholics Come Home. Please keep Susie and all of us at Catholics Come Home in your prayers. And remember to fulfill your role in the new evangelization by helping to love somebody to heaven.